Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
12:30, you know what comes to mind. Observations with all the intricacies and the fine-tuning, and it's really, it's running like a Formula One car at this point, Rick. Observations.
Yeah, I mean, the entire segment. I mean, it's
got segment. Sound.
It's got sound. It's got, I mean, multiple segments inside the inside the segment. Everyone's involved.
Everyone.
Games.
Right. I mean, we're like a well-oiled machine at this point with Observations.
Yeah, knock on wood. I mean, I don't know why you had to say it. You're like my wife.
You think by me saying that we've done well that all of a sudden it blows up today? I don't think so.
I believe that. I do.
You really do, don't you?
Yeah, it's like my wife. Oh, you know, we haven't had any traffic yet. And then 2 seconds later, an 18-wheeler flips over and I'm stuck in traffic for 4 hours.
So I shouldn't feel good that we've done well?
No, you should feel good, but I would keep
but
it
just
to
never
myself.
Say that we've done well.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, maybe if you want to wrap up the week, maybe if this was a Friday and you want to wrap up the week and say, hey, the ones
we got
through. You know
what? I have confidence in us. I think with the weather's been terrific. The bedtime has been an added addition to that beautiful. And the observations, what did it happen in Florida? All of that encompass what has become wildly popular.
You know who's speaking of, I mean, I don't know why I just thought of this, but you just mentioned my bedtime. You know who's a savage, by the way? Gordon Ramsay is a savage.
What did he do?
Cassie just, I mean, she taped this new show where he comes into the restaurant and then in 24 hours, he has 24 hours to turn the restaurant around. Like the core food menu. And he is just, I mean, he's making people cry. It's awesome.
Well, if you don't have but 24 hours, don't you have to spare the pleasantries?
Oh, yeah, but he has no way. It could have been 48 hours. He has no
way. Why do you have to make people
matter,
cry? Why is that a net?
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
I mean, to verbally berate these people seems unnecessary, no?
Hey, listen, that's his leadership. Listen, that's how he leads.
I don't think I like it.
No, you'd buckle. You'd be crying
in
the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, I absolutely would buckle.
Yeah, it wouldn't be 24 hours. It'd be 10 minutes.
I'd tap out. I'd be done. Thank you, Mr. Ramsay. I'm going to go home and have a Big Mac.
And I guess Rick and I would feel right at home because that's how we're used to being coached.
Yeah, I think Rick would be great because you're a cook to begin with.
Yeah, I'm a cook. I'm not a chef. I mean, you start talking. I mean, I've been in one of those kitchens when orders start coming in. It is. There's nothing fun about that, man.
I'd like to see you own a restaurant.
Cassie asked me every single day to open up a restaurant, and every single day I have to tell her no.
I think you should.
Do you know? See, this is the thing. Everyone thinks it's easy. Oh, I like to cook. I'll own a restaurant.
Nobody thinks it's easy.
You have to order food. You have to hire waiters and waitresses. You have to hire more cooks.
If you put the right people in place, it could be wonderful.
If.
I could be the phone answer. DiPietro's, how can I help you?
You could be front of the house. I'm more concerned about back of the house. You got to order the right amount of food.
So let me get this straight, Dave. He's already a radio show host, full-time dad, and he's a hockey coach. You want to add to that restaurateur?
Yes, in this day and age, which doesn't sound like the best way to go. Restaurateur. I like it.
What?
DiPietro's, how can I help you? For four, let me see if I have that. Yes. Yes,
you would be good.
I can fit you right in there. 7:30, table of four.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't put you. See, I think I would have. I mean, you could answer the phone, so I think I wouldn't be getting the best out of you. What I would have you do is, if that's something you wanted to do because you feel like you're a people person, I would have you be the vendor guy. You'd be calling for food orders and everything else.
You're very good.
And then I'd probably have Cassie's dad up in front.
Really?
Everyone loves Cassie's dad. I've never met a human being that has more people love him than Cassie that are willing to do things for him. In my entire life. Cassie's dad could walk down the street, meet a stranger, and that stranger would go in their house and make him a sandwich. Somehow.
Really?
It's amazing. I've never seen anything like
that. Maybe he should
be the waiter. No, he won't be the waiter. He'll be like the guy who...
No,
like,
you don't
he's...
want him as the waiter. We know how he feels about buffets, Dave. We don't want that.
That's right.
He'd be eating right off your plate. He'd be eating right off your plate. What he needs to do is just go to the table. How's everything going? How's the service? Is the food good?
I thought that'd be you.
You just told me I'm in the back of the house cooking.
No.
I'm the chef.
I said you're running the restaurant.
No,
I don't want to bury you as the chef.
No, I got to be. No, I'll hire an executive chef. I got to be in the. I got to watch what's. I'll be the one where the chef gives me the food, and then I clean off the plate, and make sure everything's nice. check the temperature. Is this
just
medium?
Just got a text from someone at the station. You'd never be allowed to be front of the house. You'd start to get into arguments with Jets Yankees fans about who's the better team, kick them out of the restaurant. Wouldn't go well.
So, time out. I think that would be perfect. People want to feel engaged.
That's right.
Maybe I have Cassie's dad work the actual dining room, and I put you more in the bar area for some sports
conversationalist.
Talk.
Conversationalist. Exactly. No restaurant has a conversationalist.
No one. Absolutely
that
right.
Can actually do trivia as well. How about that?
That's right.
And then I don't have to start Rothenberg at the bar.
How then high class the restaurant will be, but we could do bar trivia.
Exactly right. Then I could put Steve Hart in the bathroom where he's most comfortable.
Oh dear. He could be your bathroom attendant.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Give out breath mints.
A little squirt of cologne, whatever you need.
Oh dear. All right. Let's get into, we had to do that just to laugh from crying because the story that we're about to get into is very concerning. Dr. Anthony Fauci says football teams would need to emulate plans by the NBA and MLS for a bubble to even consider having a 2020 season. Guys, we're not far off from football. Today's what, June 18th. We're talking about the return of NFL training camps in about a month from right now. If this is what, right, the chief doctor of this country is telling us, the expert as far as what needs to be done, I mean, are we moving down that path, Chris?
Well, I hope we're not, Dave, but I mean, the reality is the nature of football is going to have these guys in close proximity, and you can't social distance with football, so you have to think about ways that you can protect the players, their safety, their well-being as it pertains to COVID-19 and not being infected with the virus. And the best way to do that is to make sure that the players that are participating aren't infected with the virus. I think you have to look at trying to create a bubble-like atmosphere in order to try to keep everyone as safe as possible. Now, you know you're not going to be able to mitigate all of it and that somebody inevitably is going to come down with the virus, but what's the NFL's plan? What is going to be the protocols in terms of isolating that individual and then making sure that no one else on the team is compromised and infected with the virus? That'll be real interesting to see what they come up with, but based on what we heard earlier this week and what they plan on doing and how frequently they plan on testing players, I'm pessimistic about the possibilities of having a season under those terms.
Just think about it, though, for a quick second. I mean, again, and it's different. It's not apples to apples just because of the amount of money and everything else. But, I mean, you have NBA players complaining that it's going to be 7 weeks. And that's on the low end, right, during the playoffs and their bubble.
This is going to be months.
This is months.
Months.
Which could be, and who knows, you know, how many guys incentivized with money and length of career and everything else would be incentivized to go into a bubble. But the other thing that's crazy about this entire thing, when you think about the NFL and maybe not having a bubble or a partial bubble or whatever it is, if one of these guys tests positive, that's 2 weeks on top of how much time you're missing after that 2 weeks to get back into shape to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're talking it's close scary. To a month.
It's scary. And Dr. Fauci goes on to say, you know, if we get this second wave, which everyone seems to think is going to happen, he and this is awful to say, but you have to say it, he doesn't know how we're going to have a football season at all, college or professional.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've been talking about trying to get guys in there earlier and, you know, exploring the idea of would it make sense to push the season back some. I know the NFL put some provisions in the calendar to give them that flexibility, but, I mean, even if you move the season back to start in late October or early November, you could be talking about in the middle of a second wave of coronavirus. So, I mean, I don't know how effective that would be. This is one of those things that's going to be tricky, Dave, in terms of being able to figure out the right way to do it. But outside of creating a bubble of some sort, I don't know how they effectively have a season. I just don't see it being possible.
The other thing, too, is if you have a bubble, and I think we've seen this with sports in general, when we're at the height of this thing, you know, talking about trying to get, you know, leagues restarted, the optics of, you know, the NBA or the NHL, you know, taking up all the tests when people couldn't go regularly to get tests. Mm-hmm. I mean, how would the NFL feel if all of a sudden, even if they're in a bubble, that midway through November, we have this huge surge of COVID-19? You know, optically, would they feel okay about still, you know, continuing to play? Or would because, you know, the state of the country, they would shut it down?
I think it would depend on what happens to the players that get infected in the NFL.
I think if the players are still safe, they'd probably still play.
Yeah, I mean, if the players are okay and you're seeing the guys that have had it in the NFL have been able to recover and return to sport, then I don't think the number of tests, positive tests spiking would influence whether the NFL continues on with the season. But if it gets to the point where teams can't field a squad on Sundays when they got to play a game, then I think the NFL has to revisit their stance on that.
And only one team. Like, if one team can't play, how can you have?
Yeah, but timeout. But timeout. I mean, let's not be blind to the fact that if all of a sudden, you know, we end up where we were a couple months ago, and you have, you know, people in the hallways of hospitals on ventilators and everything else, that you think the NFL is just going to go about their business? Like, nothing's going on?
Nothing's going on. I don't know if you want to say that, but I think that they'll play.
Yeah, I think they will. Yeah,
I think if the state of the league is healthy enough and guys are not in physical danger and you don't have a rampant outbreak of this within locker rooms, I think they will play, yes.
And you know they'll wrap it around, Dave, and you're absolutely right. They'll wrap it around, okay, the country is going through a crisis. We need to be here for them to provide some entertainment and a distraction for them. And that's why we're going to push forward. Isn't that why they pushed forward with free agency in the NFL draft?
Absolutely.
That was the same reason that they gave. So, yeah, I don't think it's beyond the NFL to decide to keep pushing forward, even if we're in the middle of a second outbreak.
You don't think so, Rick? You think that if the public outcry was to stop the season, they would stop it?
Yeah, I probably think they would. And on top of that, I mean, if you're the players, would you want to stay in the bubble? Or would you want to be back with your families?
If that's the only way I can get paid, yes, stay in the bubble.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I mean, all these leagues are sensitive to the optics of what they're doing. Even the entire time with testing, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if the leagues wanted to, you know, fund a laboratory just to test their players, they could do it. It's being done as we speak.
Well, they could do anything they want. Finances,
but because it's a bad look,
in the way.
But because it was a bad look, they didn't do it. You don't think it would be a bad look for the NFL, or they don't think it would be a bad look? First of all, you don't have fans in. Well, you don't have fans in stands anyway. And then you go second wave, and say it's like what Dr. Fauci's saying, between the flu and everything else, it's bad. It's really bad. Maybe not as bad as it was originally, but it's bad, and it's sweeping the country. I mean, as much as you want to believe it as a sports fan, that, hey, I can't wait till Sunday to watch that football game, you think that's going to be the case with most of the country?
People would still want to watch football, and the NFL would still be motivated to move forward with games, yes.
I question that a little bit.
And I understand why you would. And I don't think it's like definitive, like they would absolutely play. And I think you'd have to see like the state of the country.
And I think the state of the country matters, Dave. You can't be tone deaf. You have to have a level of awareness. But at the same time, if the players that we've already seen get infected come back healthy and they have a successful return to play, then I think the NFL would keep pushing forward. Now, if you have something tragic, God forbid, happen to one of your players, then I think that changes how we look at this, not just the league, but the actual players as well.
University of Texas just announces that 13 players have tested positive for COVID-19 with that program.
I'm telling you right now, of all the sports, and you see what's going on in the NBA, you're talking about humongous individuals, right? And I was listening to First Take. The NBA is what, 75% black? Black players in the NBA?
Yep.
And the more studies you see, more susceptible to COVID-19 are black men.
Yep.
And now you take that, and then, I mean, again, if they test positive, they get through. It's got to be a couple negative tests, and then they have to have a cardiac screening just to make sure they can go out on the court and run up and down and everything else, and they'll be all right. Now you're talking about what percentage of the NFL is black men?
70%.
Okay, 70. Humongous individuals, also a negative with COVID-19. And on top of what's the average age of coaches in the National Football League?
It's
close to 60?
It's up there. I would say mid to late 50s.
I mean, you talk about high risk. The NFL is the definition of high risk.
Absolutely they are.
And like Chris mentioned, we keep saying this. I mean, God forbid, and I get you go percentages and everything else, but there have been plenty of people, I mean, if you follow this COVID-19, that are in great shape that you would never thought in your wildest dreams, like triathletes that have passed away. It's only going to take one. It will take one person.
Yes.
One person in one of these sports passes away at COVID-19, everything, until there's a vaccine, everything will shut down.
And not just the NFL, Rick. College football, too.
Every sport.
Scarier.
If you have something happen to one of these college football players, that's going to have an impact on the National Football League as well, and professional sports as a whole.
How many times do you see it?
Look at it.
How, I mean, one is too many, but how many stories do you read during the course of, I mean, during the course of a high school training camp or a college training camp headed into a football season?
Rick, a pro training camp, it happened to Corey Stringer.
Exactly right. Kid seems like he's in unbelievable shape. He's 16 years old, never a problem in his life. He passes away in practice.
It happens.
It happens all the time.
Yep.
And you have to be sensitive to that. I mean, you have to be sensitive of that. And I think that, I mean, the bubble would make the most sense. It's just the logistics of traveling and everything else. It seems crazy.
It seems crazy. Let's go to some calls. Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Hope all's well. This thing on not playing football that just came up. I don't see how they can play football with these new stats that are out. 722 people died yesterday. I was just telling my stepson, stopped over. It shifted. If this would have happened in the Northeast yesterday, we wouldn't even be thinking about sports. It just shifted. It's like COVID-19 was forgotten about. How are you going to play football if the spike is supposed to happen in September right through December? You explain to me that football, the biggest contact sport of any sport, how do you keep everyone safe? Chris, how many
bubble.
Guys travel?
It would be the bubble. Yeah. It would be the bubble. That would be the only the way to
It'd
do it. Is everyone's tested every single day.
And you're going to have seen it. You're going to have seen it in the NBA. You're going to have seen it in hockey. I mean, if it works in those sports, it's probably the best thing for the NFL to do as well.
So,
but those sports aren't traveling, though, Dave. I mean, that's that right there is the biggest piece of this.
Right.
Those sports aren't traveling.
You're right.
They're not jumping on planes. And each individual person sees COVID-19 differently. Like, every one of your teammates probably has a different opinion of what's going on. I mean, when you watch, just go back and watch, I mean, watch the golf with Tom Brady, Peyton, Tiger, and Phil. Phil wouldn't go near anyone. Tom Brady wanted to high-five everybody. Everyone's like, no. We're supposed to be social distancing. Like, we're not supposed to be touching. Again, like, state to state is different. I mean, Canty's at, no one's wearing masks. Florida, it's like nothing ever happened.
Until they get spikes.
It's different state to state, and you're right. Players in locker rooms are going to feel differently. But I come back to the economics of the situation. NFL players are going to be more than likely more cooperative when it comes to protocols put in place, even if it's going to the lengths of creating a bubble, than players in any other major team sport. Just because players don't have guaranteed contracts. And for the most part, the majority of the guys in the NFL are thousandaires, and they're going season to season, game to game. They're not going to want to miss out on game checks. And no doubt, if they didn't play, they're not going to get paid.
And how much risk are you going to take on? I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, it's like when you go buy, beer, right? Please drink responsibly. It's going to be on you. You're an adult.
Well, Rick,
you make
the
decision.
It's similar to the conversations that we had about players with CTE. I mean, if you're willing to go out there and put yourself in harm's way, if that means that you can put your family in a better financial situation, even if your family has to deal with you being somehow diminished from a health standpoint. I don't look at – I mean, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of guys in the NFL that don't look at that any differently. Like, I got to go out there and get this bread for my family. And if that means I'm going to compromise my short-term and long-term health, so be it.
I feel the same way.
That's what guys say in the locker room. I'm just telling, and you know I'm telling the truth, Rick. You know there are guys that have that kind of mentality.
No, absolutely. And again, it's going to be, I mean, as long as you get the majority of guys that feel the same way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, making some of the phone calls that I've made over the last couple of weeks and months regarding, you know, what was going on in the NHL. I mean, it's amazing how different some of the opinions are. Like, guys that you would have said, I would bet everything I had that this guy would be hell bent on playing. He can't wait to play.
Mm-hmm.
No, complete opposite.
Oh yeah, what's the goalie that came out and said that this week? I forgot his name. He said he wasn't going to come out and play.
Yeah, I mean, there was the initial report. Now Tatum says it's not true. I mean, that Jason Tatum wasn't going to show up in Orlando. Each guy has different motivations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're Mookie Betts, are you going to come back and play all 50 games or 60 games? You want to believe he would, but he's on the verge of being a free agent.
Right, where he's going to get a $200 million contract.
Yeah, and George Springer, they manipulated his service time, so he wasn't a free agent last year when he could have got a huge payday. Now he's going to be a free agent this year with this mess going on. The whole thing stinks for everybody.
The whole thing stinks. And you wonder at some point, when does the NFL step in and kind of save these guys from themselves? If they all want to play and they're all willing to do whatever it takes to play, you figure the league's going to have to step in at some point. But I don't see that, Chris. I think the NFL will push to play almost no matter what.
You think the owners would stand in the way of players getting back out there on the field because
I think they're going to push to play? But I'm saying, like, in a league that you would look at as appropriate, at some point the league would say, you know what, it's just we can't play games. But I think the NFL will push no matter what to play games.
No, I think they would. The only question to me, Dave, is not whether or not they're going to push to play games, but what's going to be the threshold that they cross if you have this amount of positive tests that we would have to shut it down? That's the number that I want to know. Like, that's where I want to have, because, I mean, inevitably somebody is going to have a positive test. Well, I mean, the only question is, are they going to be able to isolate that individual so as to not affect the health of everybody else on the same team? But as a league, like, what's the number that you have to get to before you have to consider shutting down the season?
Well, here's a story. Matt Frivola, who I'm not familiar with, maybe you guys are, UFC fighter, just announced he's out for this weekend's card because his corner man tested positive twice for COVID. So he will not fight this weekend.
That happened with boxing.
I know.
With top rank ESPN boxing.
But these are small bubbles. These are handfuls of people. We're talking about hundreds of people when we talk about the NFL.
Yeah, but just think about how tricky this is going to be too during the fall when all of a sudden, it's flu season. And how you decide whether, you're doing temperatures and everything else. Now all of a sudden guy comes in with a temperature. I got to test him. Does he have the flu? Does he have cold? We have no idea. And then your kids are going to school. You could sit here for hours and every good idea you think you come up with, you can come. I mean, there'll be, 10 negatives to the idea.
I know. Let's go to Josh in Queens. Josh, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey guys. Just listening to you previously. Even if the NFL could, perhaps play in a bubble, maybe, in Las Vegas, one side, another stadium somehow on the East Coast. But, I mean, at that point, we know fans probably most likely won't be going in, and especially home field being, especially important in football, it does bring a lot for certain teams. At that point, is it even worth it? I mean, I understand some players, they need to get paid, totally get that. But just as a sport altogether, just forcing all these 53 rosters into one spot or bubble like the NBA, is it worth it at the end of the day? I mean, I know you guys are saying the owners want it, but, at some point, we just got to throw our hands up in the air. I mean, college football, I don't see that coming back, especially with student athletes and college kids on campus, but I don't know how the NFL would even do it in a bubble situation. Like, I wanted to ask you guys if you thought it was even worth it at that point.
Of course it's worth it. I mean, you're talking billions of dollars here is what you're talking about. And I think, the country's going through this right now with, people that own restaurants or businesses when they have to decide how much risk they're willing to take on. They're adults. They need, they're concerned about, getting COVID-19 and how that'll affect them, but they're also concerned about, if I can't open up my business and make money, what does my life look like then? If I can't pay my bills, what kind of life is that? So as an adult, I'm willing to risk it. And each player will have a different tolerance for how much he wants the risk.
Right.
But the NFL's not going to, to Chris's point, unless all of a sudden you have huge outbreaks through teams and you got to shut teams down.
That's different. If you're forced to shut down, then you'll shut down.
Exactly. But they'll give these players the opportunity to go make a living because it makes sense financially for the players and it makes sense for the owners financially. Just with that many guys, a bubble makes the most sense, obviously. We're going to see that with the NBA and the NHL. It seems like a lot. I mean, maybe baseball is going to be the better test case because you're going to have them flying around city to city.
Yeah.
Which makes me nervous. I got to be honest, I can't even tell you how nervous that would make me.
It would make me very nervous. And it should make you nervous.
You think guys are going to go straight from the ballpark back to their apartments or houses?
There's no chance. There's zero chance. And They will
if it's a team bus that's picking them up from the plane at the tarmac. They will. And I think that might be one of the things that you have to do.
I'm worried about home. I mean, home games. I mean, players in home games.
Well, I mean, that's another tough one, though, Ricky. I mean, that's, again, you're having to rely on players doing the right thing. But that's why I say testing is going to be so important, man. And the guys have to understand their responsibility not only to the organization but to their teammates. I mean, you don't want to be that guy. especially in a situation like this. Because if one of these NFL players gets it, I mean, that thing could run through a locker room. So that's like, this is literally a matter of life and death. And you're talking about the health and well-being of yourself and your teammates. It's hard to envision that all of these guys would do the right thing. But if this is the only way that you can get checks this year, then I think that you're probably more likely to get cooperation from players. You just got to explain to them the gravity of the situation and how important it is to stay to the protocols.
And you got to do, I mean, and again, I mean, I think all players, and if anyone watched the Ian Poulter get the COVID-19 test, did you watch that?
Mm-mm.
As we posted the video, him getting tested.
Nasal swab?
Yeah, and when you see how deep that thing goes in and he's rubbing his head like it was like in his brain, like it's uncomfortable, but I mean, it's all about the safety. You're going to have to test players every night before they leave the facility. Like, player plays a game, you know, Major League Baseball is every single day. You play the game, you get tested, results are back in the morning, and they decide if you're positive, you stay home. If you're negative, you can come back and play again. Every single day.
Yeah, you'll have to.
I think that's what the NHL is doing. I'm pretty sure that's what the NHL is doing.
Daily testing?
Yeah, you'll get tested in your hotel room every night. They'll have the results in the morning, and you'll get the okay to come, or you tested positive, you have to stay isolated.
I mean, it does feel like the best way to make this work is to do testing every single day.
You got
to
do testing every day, yeah. Dave. With the
because then you're not having the conversation.
Only the 3 days a week. That's ridiculous.
That doesn't seem okay.
No.
Well, because then you're not having the conversation. Like, all the phone calls we take about it being a contact sport and everything else, in a perfect world, that's not even a conversation because every guy's tested negative. No. So you're not worried about it. There's no one playing. There's no one on the field that has it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because otherwise, I mean, otherwise you got some guy, I mean, one person gets it that's asymptomatic. I mean, good luck tracing that.
Ugh, you can't trace
but you
it.
Said hockey's been good so far, though, Rick, right? With guys going back into the facilities?
Yeah, so far so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think golf has been good. No, apparently, yep. I mean, people are still skeptical. I guess there's some players that are skeptical, but no positive tests with golf either.
And I know they was talking about how they were excited about today and the guys coming back and playing in the Heritage this week, how they would handle, you know, the time in between tournaments to travel and everything else.
Just think about that, though, for a quick second.
There's a lot of moving parts with this thing, man. This is really complicated.
Just think about that for a quick second, though, in the NFL or football in general. Zeke Elliott, who just tested positive. Say this is like week two, then he plays a game. How are you, I mean, how many times does he touch the ball? He comes into contact with how many people during a game?
20, 25 times a game.
Yeah. Now, how are you tracing that with the pile-ups?
He's coming into contact with everybody.
With everybody.
If you're on the field, he's coming within 6 feet of you. Right? Because that's what contact is considered. It's within 6 feet?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what he's coming in contact with everybody.
I mean, you run a draw play up the middle. He's contacting everyone, almost everyone on the field.
Yes. And then if it's near the sideline?
You know what it comes down to? No matter what protocols are put in place, these professional athletes are taking their lives into their own hands whether they decide to play their sport. That's what it is. There's no way around that.
It's true.
I mean, the guy that I was referring to earlier in the NHL, Roman Polak with the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, he's a defenseman, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not coming. He said he's going to he's staying home.
Yeah, really? He's over it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you probably see a little bit of that in every. All right. We're late to start. Let's not waste any more time.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Thursday edition of Knobservations. Let's get it started right away because we are running late with let's get a forecast from our very own handsome Dave Rothenberg.
The weather outside is weather.
Yeah, it is weather. Today's not as good as it's been, unfortunately. I'd like to lie to you and tell you it's going to be another great day. Not great. A little overcast, kind of cloudy. Now, early evening, you should see a reappearance of the sun about 6 o'clock, according to my Doppler here, 6 through 8:29, which is when the sun sets. Should be some pretty good weather today. Sun rose at 5:20. Sunset, like I mentioned, 8:29. Slim chance of rain at 10%. Humidity is up there a little bit today, 67%. Not all that windy, south-southeast, if you're taking note of that, at 7 miles an hour. Feels like 76 degrees outside, and right now it is 78, supposed to go up to almost 80. Precipitation, none, up to this point. Pressure, 30.18, the barometric pressure right now. Visibility's good, clear, 10 miles an hour. UV index at 7. Air quality index, the number 18, and the air quality is considered good.
Perfect. Well done, David. And let's get to the game that is sweeping the nation. It's already swept the nation.
Oh, here we go. I love the music.
Well done, Santi. Guess what time Rick went to bed last night? Dave, with a big win yesterday, controls the board. No more Price is Right rules. Just closest to the time I went to sleep last night. Dave, it's on you.
All right. I took recontrol of the board yesterday. Let me allow you to start us out, Chris Canty.
I'm going with 7:45 p.m., Dave. That's what time Rick DiPietro went to bed last night.
Seems confident.
Done here. He seems so confident. He seems so confident. So we've seen the 7:37s. We've seen this week up to the 11 o'clocks. You've really put me in a bind, and your confidence does intimidate me just a little bit, Chris Canty. Do I go 7:44? Do I go 7:46? Therein lies the question. How sleepy were you last night? You've shown a propensity to go to bed in the 7:30 range.
It's embarrassing.
The fact that this stresses me to this point, I feel like you on a Friday with our football picks. I'm going to say bedtime last night, DiPietro, 7:44.
Chris Canty has tied it up.
Ah, hey, God almighty.
Correct.
Oh, God, it felt good. Yeah.
8:38 last night. 8:38.
Wow. I mean, who would have thought that you go to bed at that ungodly hour?
I try to give you a hint. I told you I watched Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back, and you didn't let me even pick it up.
Well, I didn't know it was last night.
I told you it was last night.
Chris, did that help you at all?
No, it didn't actually. No. I didn't think about it. But now that in hindsight, he's absolutely right. He did give us a context clue. We just weren't fishing for it at the time, so we didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
Now it comes down to game five, a pivotal game five. And he's got control of the board. This is just terrible.
A huge loss.
Huge.
A horrendous loss.
It could be devastating, really.
I don't know how we recover from this.
All right, I'll give you some good news. This will cheer you up. New York City playgrounds to reopen on June 22nd.
Well, that is good news.
Yeah, as the city enters phase two of reopening. Some more good news.
The hoops back in?
You don't have to cut the chains off the fences anymore to get in.
Good. I wonder if the hoops go back in as well.
That would be nice to give someone, but then you can't touch the ball. You can only kick the balls.
Mm.
Yeah, then that's a bit of a predicament there. Some more good news on the tennis front. We had Serena say that she'll be playing in this year's U.S. Open, which is great news. Sounds like one of the best tennis players in the world who initially did not have nice things to say about playing in the U.S. Open. So on the Tennis Legends podcast, Novak Djokovic seems like he's warming up to the idea.
He's softening a little bit?
Yeah, he says, I'm extremely happy and excited to see that all the tournaments, especially the Grand Slams, are organizing their events. I think that a lot of people were skeptical, especially for the U.S. events, considering what the U.S. went through as a country during the pandemic. So a lot of people, including myself, were quite skeptical on whether it would happen or not. I'll make this short, but at the end of the article, it makes it sound like he's going to wait to see what happens over the next couple weeks, but it would appear that we could have Novak Djokovic playing in the U.S. Open.
If we have Djokovic and Nadal, I think we'll feel like this is U.S. Open level worthy. That would be good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Also some good news. Nice. I got three good news. We have another coaching candidate for the New York Knicks. The San Antonio Spurs have granted permission for assistant Will Hardy to interview for the New York Knicks head coaching job.
Okay.
Yeah.
32 years old, right?
Yeah, well regarded.
32. Mm-hmm. How about that, mm-hmm. huh?
Greg Popovich, a big fan, which is always good.
How about Becky Hammond?
She's also been mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've seen her name thrown out there.
We went from feeling like it was Tom Thibodeau's job, and that was it, to now we're
8 to 10 names, right?
I've seen. Yeah, we're interviewing everybody, yeah.
Yep.
Instead of narrowing the list down, they just keep adding names to the list.
That's fine. They're in no rush. It's fine.
No rush, but, I mean, this is the time. I mean, you have an opportunity. You're not going to be in the bubble to, like, maybe figure out who the next head coach is going to be,
yeah,
potentially.
Yeah, they'll get it done.
Which would be nice. Here's some bad news. I mean, I just bring this up just because we're talking about the NFL. So projections, which were revealed Wednesday in a model put together by a team of scientists at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the University of Pennsylvania, indicate that Florida has all the markings of the next large epicenter of coronavirus transmission.
Does that surprise you?
And risks being the worst that has ever been.
Does that surprise you? Look, they don't take it seriously down there.
No, I know, but the entire time that was one of the states that you felt like was the closest to getting back to normal. And unfortunately, it's not. Known cases of COVID-19 in the state rose by 2,610 between Tuesday and Wednesday.
I wish I could say I was surprised by this, but I'm not at all.
No, I'm not either. You know, I'm an insider down there.
No, I know.
Tampa region. I mean, here we go.
If you have an NFC South team, Rick knows about your region, yes.
Did this?
Oh, my goodness.
I wouldn't be the only one. Listen, I'm not even going to say it. Here we go. Did this happen in Florida?
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
We're ready.
A man was accused of attacking somebody with a machete.
Oh, God.
What makes this story interesting, the victim was an adult male who was taken to the hospital and survived, but can't use or move his left hand. Okay, that was the story. What makes the
who
story
can't
interesting.
Can't move his left hand? The guy that got hit with the machete?
Yeah, the one that was attacked with the machete.
Yeah.
Okay.
He survived. Here's what makes the story interesting. The man who's being accused of attacking this man with the machete just so happens to have a machete tattooed under his left eye.
Almost like foreshadowing.
Yeah, and I'm not joking. I'm looking at his picture.
But if the guy has a machete tattooed under his eye, shouldn't the other guy know not to mess with this individual?
No. No, there's no chance.
But
no, how do you deny it? Were you the one that attacked that man? No, it wasn't me. I don't even like machete. I don't even like machetes. But you have one tattooed on your face. Did that happen in Florida?
Yes. Yes, it happened in Florida. It did. I don't see this happening anywhere else in the country. It happened in Florida.
What do you think, Dave? Florida?
I didn't, and his confidence pushes me there. But because I'm annoyed that he won the bedtime battle, I'm going to say not Florida.
Not Florida. Not Florida. How about you, Santi?
No, not Florida out of defiance. I'm going to go with CeCe on this one. That screams Florida to me.
God, Dave wrong again. Bad day for Dave. Ugh. That was, in fact, Florida. I was in Spring Hill, Florida.
So why did he attack
like it would
with
be
machete?
One of
Can
the
we
weapons
know?
Of choice down in Florida, doesn't it?
They were in an argument outside the victim's home. Argument. So he struck him in the arm and leg with
chopping
the machete.
Chopping water coconuts, chopping off people's hands.
I just don't understand how. I mean, you can't even deny it. Was that you with the machete? No, it wasn't me. You have a machete tattooed under your eye. What are we talking about here? All right, Canty, pay it off. Your observation for the, it was actually a 3-hour observation, Mike Gundy.
Yes, Mike Gundy. So, you know, he's been in the news headlines. He posted the picture on social media wearing the OAN t-shirt. Some players at Oklahoma State took exception to it, namely Chuba Hubbard, and they put out the video earlier. But some of those antics from Mike Gundy rubbed some people the wrong way, and they looked into his past, and they brought up an allegation from 1989 when Mike Gundy was the quarterback of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and he was playing against the Colorado Buffaloes, and Alfred Williams, the outside linebacker for the Buffaloes, who would go on to play in the NFL, accused Mike Gundy of directing racial slurs toward him and several other Buffalo players. And to quote Alfred Williams, he said, "I couldn't believe it. There's no walking that back. This story has been out there for 31 years. I didn't back down then. I don't back down now. Every time I see him, I just want to run through him." Now, if we go back to 89, when Mike Gundy was asked about the allegation, he said, "They were doing the talking. Why would I say those things? I've been here 4 years and half my friends on the team are black. It makes no sense." Now, to take a page out of Jeff Foxworthy's book, if you say that half my friends are black, you might be racist. If you say that you don't see color, you might be racist. Those are just buzz phrases that black and brown Americans pay attention to when white Americans say them. So Mike Gundy, it's not looking too good for him. Paul Feinbaum said it earlier this week. Oklahoma State will be a lot better off the sooner they get rid of him. It feels like it's moving that direction.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
You're not a smart man. I mean, let's be honest.
No, he's clearly not a smart guy.
How about that? I mean, what are the chances, though, too, that ESPN Plus would be doing a behind the scenes with Oklahoma State during this? Did you see that footage?
Mm-hmm.
He's
digging his own.
Yes.
You know what? It's awful. It's awful. And he is a seemingly a very unlikable guy.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.